This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, February 13th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We're going to get to the number of NBA and NHL games yesterday, but first, a couple of late-breaking things just announced in the last hour. David Ortiz was going to salary arbitration with the Red Sox today. The Red Sox had put forth an offer of $12.6 million. Ortiz had asked for $16.5 million. You love these things because how's he going to lose if he gets $12.6 million for next year? But in any event, literally an hour or two before the salary arbitration hearing was to take place, the Red Sox and David Ortiz decided to split the difference down the middle, and Ortiz has agreed to a one-year contract with the Boston Red Sox for $14.575 million. I think fair for all. Look, Ortiz, who people thought 2 Aprils ago was going to be like out of baseball, he was so bad, has come back to be a real productive player both last year and the year before. I think it would have been a PR nightmare if they had let him go. They did agree to arbitration, and now they've agreed literally just in the last hour and a half to split the difference on the arbitration demands from each side. So David Ortiz back with the Boston Red Sox, 1 year, $14.575 million. Has to make new manager Bobby Valentine happy because this guy's a big-time player. Been a Yankee killer since the day he showed up from the Minnesota Twins. Been there for both championships, of course, to break that 86-year jinx, and is a good guy in the clubhouse, seems to be a good guy on and off the field, and still a productive player. So David Ortiz back with the Red Sox one more year. Another interesting announcement today, Randy Moss, who was out of the league in 2011. He wants to come back next year. He's announced that he is ending his one-year retirement. He said he had some family issues he had to clear up. He also got healthy. I heard John Clayton talking about who might want him, and he ruled the Patriots out. And I'm not so sure, because I was pretty sure towards the beginning of last year, this past season, the Patriots wanted to bring Moss back for 1 year, and Moss wanted a 2-year contract. That kind of got lost in the shuffle when Moss decided to retire and the Patriots moved on. But I don't know. The Patriots do not have a deep threat. And you can talk all you want about how great their offense was, and it was great. But they really didn't have. They tried to make Slater a deep threat. They tried to make Ocho Cinco a deep threat. Even in the Super Bowl, you saw Brady throw the ball 50 yards downfield to Gronkowski. That was intercepted by Chase Blackburn. Not that Gronkowski is really a deep threat, but he's certainly a go-down-the-seam guy for 25, 30 yards. But they really haven't had a deep threat, frankly, since Randy Moss left. And even Moss at the end with the Patriots, who was not Randy Moss from the prior year when they were undefeated until the Super Bowl, even as a decoy, when Moss goes deep, you have to send two guys with him. So I wouldn't rule him out. I don't know what the feeling of the Patriots organization is, but I remember reading stuff that said they had offered him a one-year deal and he wanted two. Now, maybe because he wouldn't come back for the one-year deal, maybe the Patriots will write him off, and that certainly is what John Clayton said today, John Clayton of ESPN. He talked about the Jets if Plaxico Burress doesn't come back. Look, I think every team has to take a good look at Randy Moss, because if he's remotely close to what he was, and until he proves he's not, he's going to be double-teamed all the time. And if he still is, if he catches a few touchdown passes early, he'll get double-teamed all year. So I think Randy Moss can still be a productive player. They just don't have guys like him. A lot of people are now analogizing him to Terrell Owens, and Owens couldn't get a job in the league this past year, but Owens is coming off a torn ACL and knee surgery. That's not Randy Moss. He's had a year to rest his body. He's had a year to clean up whatever undescribed family problems that he may have had. So Randy Moss announces today that he wants to come back to the NFL, and I'll say it again. I don't think you should just eliminate the Patriots out of hand, because if the Patriots had one weakness on offense, and they might have only had one weakness on offense, it was the fact that they didn't have a deep threat. They didn't really have that down-the-field passing game. Yes to the tight ends, yes to Gronkowski, Wes Welker with his short routes, Deion Branch on the outside, but they did not have that threat to stretch the field, which would have given Tom Brady even more room in the middle of the field. So we'll see where that shakes out. One other interesting NFL note, the Eagles apparently are going to sign, are going to apply the franchise tag to DeSean Jackson, and that no doubt will infuriate DeSean Jackson. I mean, his four-year rookie contract just ended. He was grossly underpaid. And now he'll get paid well, but just for 1 year, and certainly he wants that long-term deal. Don't know if the Eagles are trying to do that behind the scenes or not. But it was reported in the Philadelphia Inquirer that the Eagles are going to put the franchise tag on DeSean Jackson. And he'll make a good buck next year, but only for a year. Again, I'm sure he wants some stability, some guaranteed money. He wants that long-term deal. And you know how it is now in football. It's not like baseball where the contracts are guaranteed. But what's happened in the last few years is you sign for $40 million and you're guaranteed $20 million, which is not as good as baseball. Baseball, you sign for $40 million, you're guaranteed $40 million. But DeSean Jackson will be franchise tagged by the Eagles. Those announcements have to be made on March 5th. I saw a long interview on ESPN with Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, and of course his big decision day is March 8th with Peyton Manning, whether he's going to pay him $28 million or not. I can't believe anyone really thinks this is a close call now. I can't believe, given what the Colts have done, they dumped their front office, they dumped their coach, they're going to draft Andrew Luck. Clearly they're rebuilding. I don't even know why Peyton Manning would want to come back other than to get the money, and I understand that's a big other than. But Manning probably wants to not come back, although if they give him his $28 million, he'll be happy to come back. But Manning now down 2-1 in Super Bowls to his little brother, down 3-1 in Super Bowls to Tom Brady. The greatest regular season quarterback ever? Yeah, I guess so. Four MVPs. But what does that mean? So I think Manning's still going to look for another place to go to try and win a Super Bowl. He wants to get at least one to tie his brother, and maybe two to go ahead of his brother and tie Tom Brady. But Eli Manning has a better chance to win another Super Bowl than Peyton Manning does, at least right now. So we'll have to see where that shakes out as well. You know, Irsay, his father was the owner, so he became the owner. You know, he said things like, I've learned, quote, you can't operate out of emotion, close quote. That seems to me kind of a setup to letting Manning go. There was a quote from Peyton that I think he made a few weeks ago that was, quote, tough decisions have to be made, close quote. But, you know, I think the die is already cast for all of this. The Napoleons are gone. Caldwell is out. They're clearly rebuilding. Reggie Wayne, a good wide receiver, said, I really like to stay a Colt the rest of my career. Obviously, he'd like Peyton Manning to be his quarterback. But, you know, I don't see how you're going to rebuild everywhere but the quarterback position. And if you bring Peyton Manning back, can he put the team on his back and lead them to the playoffs? Maybe. Maybe. Their defense was terrible this year. But are they really a Super Bowl threat even with Peyton Manning next season? I don't think so. And I think Peyton Manning knows that, and I think Jim Irsay knows that. And even though it'll be, quote, tough, close quote, to make that decision, I think it's already a done deal. Because if you give him $28 million and bring him back and you're a 10-6 team and make the playoffs, or 9-7 and somehow win a division, you know, you're not really going to do any damage. Don't compare that with the Giants situation, where the Giants, what they had to do and what they did was to get healthy at the right time. Again, it's a new world in the NFL. 40 years ago, if you were 7-7 or 6-6, and there was a 14-game schedule, you weren't making the playoffs. Period. You had no chance. Now it's a different world. In the National Football League today, they'd like everyone to be around that 8-8. So you can win divisions at 9-7, like the Giants did. You can win a division like Seattle did last year. You know, it's ridiculous, but that's how it is nowadays, and that's not going to change. So I think the Peyton Manning die is cast. I think he's going to be cut loose, and then he's going to have to find the best team he can find. I don't know what that team is. People say Miami or Washington, but if you put Peyton Manning on Miami or Washington, Miami arguably more likely because of the good weather. Again, I went to the Super Bowl this year, sat in the dome for a game for the first time in my life, and said, my goodness, it's great watching the game here. It must be a lot of fun playing in the game here. Because the elements are taken out of the equation. Everything's picture perfect. So is that going to hurt Peyton Manning?
Yeah,
it'll hurt him a little. He's played his, at least half of his games on the road, sometimes in domes, but not always. But I'll say it again, after being in one of these domes, you almost have to put an asterisk against some of those passing numbers, especially compared to guys from 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. I understand the rules have changed and you put an asterisk next to them anyway. But to play half of your games in the dome guaranteed every year for 10, 12, 14 years, well, that's a huge advantage when you're talking about career numbers in the passing game. Do I think Peyton Manning's going back to Indianapolis? No. Do I think Jim Irsay is going to give him the $28 million? No. Do I think Peyton Manning will accept it? Well, of course he will. You know, there's a balancing there. He wants to win more Super Bowls. He wants to make more money. He's not going to make as much money if he leaves Indianapolis. If Irsay gives him the $28 million, he's not going to be able to duplicate that somewhere else if Irsay doesn't give him the $28 million. So to me, it's pretty cut and dried. But I think also in some kind of way, Peyton Manning, who can't be hurting for money, obviously $28 million is a fortune to anybody, even Peyton Manning. Well, maybe not Mayor Bloomberg or someone like that, or Bill Gates, but $28 million is a fortune to a football player. But I think Manning, more so now, wants to win a Super Bowl. And I'll say it again, that's not happening in Indianapolis next year. So a lot, you know, the NFL to some degree, not quite like baseball with the hot stove league, but to some degree, has become a 365-day-a-year deal. Certainly ESPN promotes that. They have all these football guys on staff. In fact, today, ESPN, 8 days after the Super Bowl, was showing these interesting mic'd-up comments from the Super Bowl itself. I watched that show on the NFL Network. I think it's called Sound FX, where they had a bunch of players mic'd, including Tom Brady, during the Super Bowl. And when Jason Pierre-Paul was knocking down Brady's passes, Brady on the bench said it's like throwing into a forest out there, which is very interesting and very telling. And also that nobody could believe that was an intentional grounding on their first offensive play in the safety. I think it was. Because he threw the ball 40 yards down the field and nobody was within 25 yards of that ball. And he was under pressure. I think we talked about it. I thought there was a question, is he in the pocket? Because he definitely went outside the hash marks and came back in right on the hash mark. So that would have been, to me, the complaint you could have made. I wasn't in the pocket. I could throw it anywhere I want. And even Brady on the bench later said, I had nowhere to throw the ball away. So he just heaved it down the center of the field, cost him 2 points. Did it change the game? Well, I don't really think so, because the Patriots came back to take the lead 17-9. I think the tuck sack changed the game. Because I think it did hurt Brady's shoulder, non-throwing shoulder. But that was an interesting to listen to the mic'd-up players during the game. Vince Wilfork telling the refs on that Kevin Booth hold, which stopped the Giants' drive, that it was a bad call. Man, I would never do that if I was a player. Although Wilfork did say, man, you missed so many, I deserved one. And that's obviously all true. Wilfork gets held a lot, but the fact that you would tell a referee in the Super Bowl that he blew a call, that was a big call. You know, I appreciate his honesty, but I don't think it was the right thing to say to a referee in the middle of the Super Bowl. But we're still getting those Super Bowl things 6, 7, 8 days after. And that's fine. It's fascinating to see these players, to hear these players mic'd up. Wilfork and Brady, Michael Boley, the middle linebacker for the Giants, who had a very good season. To hear their comments during the Super Bowl is really fascinating stuff. And if they show that on the NFL Network again and you get it, the show is Sound FX. If you can watch that, you should watch that. because it's a fascinating, real inside look into what happens on the field during the Super Bowl, and that's something you could never get 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to go right to the NBA. The most interesting game, I thought, yesterday was Miami going up to Atlanta to play the Atlanta Hawks. Miami, I think, the best team in basketball. I think you have to like them to win the championship with no preseason last year and a 9-8 start. They got beat in the finals, but they did make it to the finals. The teams in the East, you know, the Bulls, they're Derrick Rose and not much else, frankly, and Rose has hurt. He's got a bad back. There's not a whole lot in the East. I think the competition is going to come from probably from the West, maybe from Oklahoma City, maybe from the Clippers. But I think the league, in terms of elite teams, I think the Celtics are down, the Lakers are down. We'll get to them in a minute. But yesterday, Miami goes into Atlanta and buries the up-and-down Hawks in Atlanta. Miami 107, Atlanta 87. You know, what can you say? LeBron James, whether you like him or not, a great, great player, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. D-Wade, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Chalmers with 15. Bosch with 14 points and 16 rebounds. Cole, the backup point guard, 10 points off the bench. You know, just not a whole lot going on for Atlanta. Miami, a very good defensive team. Danny Green high off the bench with 17. Joe Johnson, the only starter in double figures with 12. Again, Atlanta only has 2 guys in double figures. So they're 18-10, but they have a long way to go to be a championship team. Again, to me, they're one of those mid-level good teams that just really can't beat the top teams or are going to have trouble, certainly in the playoffs, beating a top team. Miami 107, the Hawks 87. Again, Miami moves to 21-7. The Hawks drop to 18-10. Another interesting game, the Bulls without Derrick Rose actually give the Celtics a run for their money, but the Celtics in Boston come out on top. Celtics 95, Bulls 91. I think people start to understand what a star Rajon Rondo is. As good as Garnett, Pierce, and Allen have been and are, they're certainly on the downside, all of them. Not quite as good as they once were, but Rondo is the man. 32 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds, plays 40 minutes. You got to give him a lot of credit. He's the glue to that team now. Garnett, 13 points, 12 rebounds. Ray Allen, 11 points, but only 1-for-5 from 3. Paul Pierce, only 9 points. So, again, Boston, to me, is a team kind of on the downside. Can they win a championship? I don't think so. Can they make a run in the playoffs? Well, I guess they can. The Bulls showing a lot to me, but they still don't have that second guy from a scoring perspective. Is it Carlos Boozer, 22.7 rebounds yesterday with no Derrick Rose? Is it C.J. Watson, Rose's starter, a replacement as a starter, scores 22 but only shoots 8-for-23 from the field? Is it Joakim Noah, 16 points, 9 rebounds? Is it Luol Deng, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists? You know, sometimes it can be any one of those guys. But Kyle Korver, 1-for-5 from 3 yesterday in 19 minutes, 3 points, seems lost. He's one of the best shooters in the league. But they don't really have that secondary star. Boozer, a very good player. Noah, a very good player. Luol Deng, a very good player. But they just, it's the same problem they had last year. I think Magic Johnson was actually talking about this yesterday. Now, Rose has some back spasms. He's going to go to a doctor today. He said he's had those problems dating back to high school. He said his back has been bothering him this entire road trip for the Bulls. So the Bulls, one of the best teams in the NBA, yes, but I think they're just going to be a little short. How are they going to beat the Heat when the Heat collapse on Rose and make him give up the ball? That's the question for last year. That's the question for this year. Celtics 95, Bulls 91. Bulls Bulls, to me, put up a good battle on the road in Boston without their star player, the reigning MVP, Derrick Rose. But it's just not enough. Celtics move to 15-12. The Bulls drop to 23-7. A fascinating game. Lakers up in Toronto. Again, the Lakers are not the Lakers, especially on the road. But the Lakers go up to Toronto yesterday, and this was, if you watched the game or saw the highlights, this was a very interesting game. The Raptors were up late. Kobe hits a jumper from the corner to put them up. Now the Raptors are down one with 5 seconds left. They put the ball inbounds in the forecourt. Rasul Butler taking it out. But there was 4.2 seconds left, down one, and Butler couldn't get the ball in. By the time he turns to the ref to call timeout, there's already been a five-second violation called, and it was 5 seconds. Dwayne Casey, the coach of Toronto, went nuts, and, you know, you got to wonder, should they make that call at that time? It was a five-second violation. So I think you have to make it, even if it's down one, 5 seconds left in the game. If it's down 10, it doesn't matter. If there's 5 minutes left in the game, it doesn't matter as much. But in any event, the Lakers then get the ball to Kobe. Kobe gets fouled immediately. He only makes one of two. So the Lakers are up two on Toronto with 3.7 seconds left, but Toronto just gets a wild shot off, can't score. Lakers 94, Toronto 92. Lakers get a road victory. Kobe's still playing at an unbelievable level, 27 points. Gasol, 16 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, he's been criticized a lot, and I've watched him play a lot the last few weeks. And to me, it looks like he's pretty good. Bynum, 14 points, 9 rebounds. That's really the big three, but they're not getting much out of Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, 9 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. They're not getting much out of Derek Fisher. There was an article, I think, in the Times about whether Derek Fisher's play has really been hampered because he was the lead negotiator for the players during the lockout. I find that hard to believe, and Fisher, to his credit, says that's not the reason. But Fisher, 4 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists in 20 minutes yesterday. Steve Blake coming back from injury, 7 points, 4 assists in 28 minutes. To me, he's a key. They just don't have a great bench. They have an okay bench with Gudelock and Murphy and Barnes and Capone, but that's not a great, and Blake, but that's not a great bench. And frankly, their other two starters, Meta World Peace, formerly Ron Artest, and Fisher, aren't doing the job. They do have a big three, and they do have a big three that in theory can win a championship, but I don't think it's this year. Lakers 94, Raptors 92. The Lakers move to 16-12. Toronto drops to 9-20. Toronto has a nice team, but not nice enough. Calderon, a nice guard, 30 points, 6 assists. DeRozan, 8 points, 7 assists. But they don't have that big guy. They don't have that big rebounder. They drop to 9-20. Lakers 94, Raptors 92. That's a rare road win for the Los Angeles Lakers, but, of course, one that they'll take. A few other games to take a look at quickly. The Jazz go down to Memphis to play the Grizzlies, and the Jazz come away with a win. Jazz 98, Grizzlies 88. I think the Jazz, even at 14-12, are a surprise team this year. Ty Corbin doing a good job there as the head coach. Hayward led the team in scoring with 23 points and 5 assists. Al Jefferson, what can you say? He's a beast, 21 points, 15 rebounds. Millsap, 16 points, 8 rebounds. They've got a nice squad there. But I didn't think they'd be above 500 in the West. Memphis, which was playing great without Zach Randolph, now kind of coming back to earth a little. They're 14-14. Rudy Gay, 10 for 19 from the field, 22 points, 6 rebounds. Conley, the point guard, 17 points, 6 assists. Marc Gasol, the all-star Gasol brother, unlike his brother Pau Gasol, 17 points, 9 rebounds. But again, to me, if they're going to make any kind of run, and frankly, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to need Zach Randolph. Jazz 98, Grizzlies 88 in Memphis. Rockets go out to Golden State to play the Warriors. Again, to me, two teams in the West. Now, the Rockets, even though they lose, they're 16-12, and Golden State gets the win, they're 10-14. But the Warriors win 106, Rockets 97, Monte Ellis, you know, they're talking about the Linsanity and Jeremy Lin with the Knicks, and make no mistake, he's turned the league around. He's turned the Knicks around. He's turned the league around as well. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But Golden State had him, but Golden State starts Monte Ellis and Steph Curry at the guards. So at least there I can understand. Now, could he have been the third guard there like Harden is in Oklahoma City? Well, maybe. Maybe. But obviously, D'Antoni's system fits Jeremy Lin. We'll talk a little bit about Lin in a minute. Obviously, he's like the king of New York right now after leading the Knicks, the lowly Knicks, to 5 wins in a row. No Stoudemire. He might come back tomorrow. No Carmelo Anthony yet. You know, and of course, the big question in New York is what's going to happen when they come back. But in any event, the Warriors beat the Rockets 106-97. Monte Ellis, 33 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. David Lee, a solid player, just what Golden State and Mark Jackson need. 15 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Steph Curry, only 5 for 14, but 14 points, 5 assists. Thompson off the bench with 14, Rush off the bench with 10. Kevin Martin finally comes alive for Houston. I don't know what's been wrong with him, one of my favorite players. He, to me, is the underrated star in the league, not Joe Johnson. But yesterday, Martin, 5 for 11 from 3, 28.6 rebounds, 2 assists. Luis Scola, very good, another very good unsung player, 14 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists. Parsons with 13 points, Kyle Lowry, 10 points, 9 assists. Houston has a nice team. They moved to 16-12. And even though I think Golden State has a nice team, they're a little short. They're 10-14. Warriors 106. Rockets 97. Finally, one other game. The Wizards bury the Pistons in Detroit. Wizards 98. Pistons 77. John Wall with 15 assists for the Wizards. Young led the team in scoring with 22. Monroe had 27 for the Pistons. Obviously, neither team going anywhere. Wizards 6-22, Pistons 8-21. Apparently, Lawrence Frank, the new coach of the Pistons, his job was in jeopardy, but then they won 4 in a row. But then they lose at home to the Washington Wizards, so ownership can't be too happy about that. Wizards 98, Pistons 77 in Detroit. Just a minute or two on the Jeremy Lin show. I mean, this kid is almost too good to be true in the way he approaches the game. You know, everybody made a big stink out of the fact, or a big deal, I should say, out of the fact that he was going into the game at halftime. If you saw the Lakers-Knicks Friday night, where Jeremy Lin had 38 to Kobe's 34, I wouldn't really say they played against each other, but Lin still lit it up, leading the Knicks to a victory over a Laker team in Madison Square Garden that, frankly, just isn't the Lakers. But you thought with their 2 7-footers, Gasol and Bynum, they would dominate, and they didn't. But Lin said he had to go in at halftime to watch tape to see how he could get the ball to Tyson Chandler better, and that just gives you an indication of what this kid is. Halftime adjustments in the basketball game, fascinating stuff. And then he has 2 days off, so he goes from New York City up to Hamilton in upstate New York to watch his little brother, who's a freshman, play D3 basketball. You can't make that stuff up. And good for him. Because he's a point guard with a brain, and that's what Mike D'Antoni needs to run that Mike D'Antoni system. But Lin got tired against the Timberwolves on Saturday, still hit the winning foul shot, but was like 1 for 12 in the second half with 4 turnovers. But I don't think he can or should be a 38, 40-minute guy, and I think he's going to hit a brick wall if they keep running him into the ground like this. You might not have heard that famous quote from Mike D'Antoni who said, "I'm going to ride him like Secretariat." Not a good idea. In fact, I think Tony Douglas should get his backup minutes, not Mike Bibby. Because I think Mike Bibby just can't play anymore. If you watched him with Miami last year, I remember writing when he came to Miami that the day he walks on the court, he's the best three-point shooter on Miami. And he was terrible for them, and he's been terrible for the Knicks. Tony Douglas is younger. Tony Douglas can defend a little. I think he's the guy who should be getting the minutes, but that's all irrelevant. Jeremy Lin has swept the nation. Linsanity, he's a player. He's going to be in the league for a long time. I don't think he's averaging 25 a game, but he's going to be around. He has that court vision you can't teach. He has that sense you can't teach. He's not afraid of these guys. You know, they showed that on SportsCenter the next day. There was one play kind of away from the ball off a rebound where Kobe just pushed Lynn, and Lynn just pushed right back. And that's what you can't teach. He's got no fear with these guys. It's Kobe Bryant. He's got no fear. Lakers clearly tried to beat him up, and I think it took its toll from Friday to Saturday when he played the Timberwolves. He's playing too many minutes. But he's a very good player. He's NBA quick. I think I told you I saw him play against Cornell a few years ago when Cornell was really good. They won two games in the tournament. And he clearly was NBA quick. But I also think he's going to hit a brick wall if they keep running them into the ground the way they are. But a career-high 38 against the Lakers, 23 and a career-high 10 assists against Washington, 28 and 8 assists against the Jazz, 25 off the bench against the Nets. And in his weakest performance, still good, against Minnesota Saturday night, 20.6 assists and the game-winning foul shot. As Magic Johnson said, quote, there's a new sheriff in town, close quote, and it's Jeremy Lin, and Carmelo and Stoudemire are going to have to learn to play with him, not the other way around. Very interesting take from arguably the greatest point guard of all time, Magic Johnson. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay less.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Yesterday, the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am concluded. People still think, I guess, that it's the Tiger of old and somehow thought he was going to charge to victory. We've talked about this for months now, if not for over a year. You know, Tiger Woods just isn't what he used to be for whatever reason. I think it has a lot to do with the lifestyle that he used to have. It kept him on the edge all the time, just my opinion. But yesterday, within striking distance in the final round, people thought maybe he would make a charge. In fact, it was Phil Mickelson, not Tiger Woods, who made the charge. Shoots 64 to win the tournament by two shots over Charlie Wee, who was the leader after three rounds. Wee shot a 72. Tiger Woods, frankly, just couldn't putt. At a 75, dropped down to tied for 15th, playing in the final group with Mickelson. But it just wasn't to be for Tiger. Just couldn't make a putt. He said as well as he putted in round three, he was that bad in round four. He had three straight bogeys, five bogeys overall for a 75. He finished the tournament 8 under. Mickelson 17 under won the tournament. Gives you an idea of how far Tiger fell. The 40th PGA win for Mickelson, who, you know, he's just such a likable guy, kissing his wife after the tournament, who's been through that cancer scare. Mickelson, now 41 years old. His 40th PGA win puts him one ahead of the great Tom Watson. Tiger's still looking for answers. Mickelson said he loves playing with Tiger. It makes him focus more intensely. And certainly it worked out for Phil Mickelson. Again, Tiger Woods, will he ever get to 19 majors? I don't think so. You know, the better question is, will he ever get to 16 majors? Because, again, I think he's a good player now who can win a major once in a while. But the notion that he's Tiger Woods and, you know, the question is he going to win 2 a year, 3 a year, or 1 a year? I think that question's gone by the boards. But Phil Mickelson wins the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am by two strokes over Charlie Wee. Mickelson, 269 for the 4 days, 17 under par. A few other things now. Baseball, pitchers and catchers. The Mariners, the first team to report on Saturday. And that's because they're going to be the first team to play. They're playing the A's in Japan on March 28th. So the Mariners already in camp. And a lot of other teams will start to come in this week and next week, obviously. But the Mariners have already reported. A lot of storylines in baseball, obviously. Albert Pujols signed with the Angels, 10 years, $240 million. Prince Fielder signed with the Tigers just days after Victor Martinez was lost for the season, 9 years, $214 million. Ryan Braun trying to fight off that positive test. He's been suspended 50 games. He did file an appeal, no decision yet. Boy, you'd like to think that Ryan Braun wouldn't do anything like that, but you just don't know. Even today, you just don't know. Bobby Valentine takes over the head of the Red Sox. Michael Pineda shows up in Yankee land. After the Mariners get Jesus Montero, among others, for Pineda. Pineda, of course, strongly increases the Yankee staff. Montero, I think, is going to be an excellent hitter. Didn't really see him catch enough for the Yankees to make a decision that way, but certainly I've seen him hit some breaking balls, and we talked about this at the time. I've seen this guy hit some two-strike breaking balls for base hits that young hitters just don't hit. You know, I remember at the time seeing guys like Cabrera hit these kinds of balls. Manny Ramirez hits these kinds of balls. I think Montero is going to be a very good player, but I think the Yankees obviously needed pitching. And, of course, Yu Darvish, we'll have to see how good that Japanese pitcher is. He signed with the Texas Rangers. Those are the biggest stories going on in baseball now, as everyone starts to report in the next week to 10 days, with the Mariners already the first team in camp. A couple of college basketball games to talk about from yesterday. St. John's at number 12, Georgetown. Georgetown pulls it out at the end, 71-61. Look, St. John's has essentially given up on this season. You know, Coach Lavin tried to coach and just couldn't, still recuperating from that prostate cancer surgery. St. John's now playing essentially all freshmen. They dropped to 10-15 as Georgetown beats them 71-61. Jason Clark, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists for Georgetown. Georgetown had 5 guys who scored between 10 and 12 points. St. John's, again, D'Angelo Harrison, 24 points. Harkless, 20 points. They got some good young players, but now they're essentially playing, you know, they're going 6 deep. They're giving 5 freshmen a bunch of time, which will help them next year, but this has essentially been a lost season for St. John's. Number 12, Georgetown, 71. St. John's, 61 in the Big East game. One other top 25 game yesterday. Number 22, Michigan at home beats Illinois, 70-61. Tim Hardaway Jr., the man for Michigan, along with Trey Burke. Hardaway Jr., 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. His father in the stands, Tim Hardaway Sr., an unbelievable player in his own right, who I think at the end of his career was injured a lot. But Tim Hardaway Jr., to me, has more athleticism than his father. 15 points to lead Michigan past Illinois, 70-61. Trey Burke with 14 for Michigan. Michigan 19-7. And John Beilein doing a heck of a job there, former West Virginia coach. Illinois drops to 16-9. Michigan 70, Illinois 61. Haven't seen the new AP poll today. I was looking for it, but the one poll that I did find, because, of course, Michigan State beat Ohio State on Saturday. That was probably the biggest, I don't know if I want to call it an upset. I guess so. It was in Ohio State. So Kentucky, Syracuse, Missouri, Duke, Michigan State, Ohio State, North Carolina, Kansas, Baylor, Georgetown. That's the top 10 on the newest poll that I saw. Again, didn't see a new AP. Didn't see a new coaches poll. And I checked right up until I went on the air. But Michigan State beats Ohio State, so jumps Ohio State. That's not surprising. Missouri, a very good team. Duke is Duke. North Carolina is North Carolina. Syracuse, number 2. Georgetown, number 10 out of the Big East. Kentucky is probably the best team in the country, but I won't pick them to win the national championship. They always seem to just come up short. But they're unbelievably athletic. They're unbelievably good. And they'll make another run this year as well. You know, you can't be shocked if they win at all. But your top 5 right now, Kentucky, Syracuse, Missouri, Duke, and Michigan State. Michigan State's played great since those 2 early season losses that they had. I think they lost to Duke and Kentucky back-to-back. But they're playing out of their minds now. Let's switch to a few NHL games now. Detroit at home yesterday going for the all-time record, going to tie the all-time record to get 20 wins in a row at home. the 75-76 Flyers. You'll recall them, the Broad Street Bullies, who I think changed the game forever, and I certainly didn't like it. I mean, they just came out and beat the crap out of you. I mean, they had some very, very good hockey players, of course, but they were known as much for fighting as for playing hockey. But they won 20 in a row at home. That was the all-time record, tied with the 29-30 Bruins. I'd have to go back and look at that team, but I think Eddie Shore was on that team, one of the five greatest players of all time. 29-30 Bruins also won 20 in a row. So yesterday, Detroit having won 19 in a row, playing Philly at home, so Philly with a chance to knock Detroit from the ranks, to not tie the record. And after one period, it was 1-1. Cronwall scored his 12th for Detroit. Braden Schenn got his 7th for the Flyers. Then Schenn gets his 8th to put him up 2-1. Datsyuk scores for the Red Wings, but Max Talbot gets another one to put Philly up 3-2. And then the last 2 minutes of the second and the first minute of the third, Henrik Zetterberg gets his 11th with 1:39 left in the second period for the Red Wings to tie up the game. And then 52 seconds into the third, on a beautiful pass from Nicklas Lidström, Johan Franzén gets his 22nd goal of the year. That proves to be the game winner. Detroit 4, Philadelphia 3. Detroit gets their 20th win in a row at home, tying the all-time record by the 75-76 Flyers and the 29-30 Bruins. And Detroit has a chance to beat that record tomorrow when the Stars, I think, come into play. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But Detroit has a home game tomorrow to try and set the all-time record. 20 wins in a row at home, that's pretty amazing. Now, I will say this because I'm a stickler for this kind of stuff. Overtime in hockey certainly did not exist in 75-76. I'd have to go back and see if it existed in 1930 with the Bruins. But you now have a chance to win a game in overtime that you didn't certainly in the 70s, you didn't have that opportunity. So I'm going to have to do some research to check that out. But the Red Wings win 4-3 over the Philadelphia Flyers, and they'll go for the record tomorrow night, obviously at home in Hockey Town. A few other interesting games. The NBC game yesterday, and NBC's trying something next weekend that we'll talk about. They're going to put on like 3 or 4 hockey games on Channel 4 in New York, but NBC nationally. Yesterday, the game was Capitals at the Rangers. Obviously, Alex Ovechkin against a very, very good New York Rangers team. The Rangers have been playing great this year. They got Marty Baron to give them some rest, to give Lundqvist some rest. And the Rangers yesterday beat the Capitals, Rangers 3, Capitals 2. Ryan Callahan, who also had a hat trick earlier in the weekend, scores his 22nd to give the Rangers the lead. Alexander Semin ties it up with his 15th, Callahan's 22nd of the year. Ryan McDonagh gives the Rangers the lead at 13:21 in the second period. At the start of the third period, 2-1 Rangers, and the Rangers get a shorthanded goal from Brandon Proust, of all people. His first goal in like 48 games, I think, his third of the year. Rangers leading 3-1. John Carlson gets his 7th late. Ovechkin has a shot with like 5 seconds left in the game, but it goes wide. Rangers 3, Capitals 2. We'll take a look at the standings in the NHL in a bit, but the Rangers, now unbelievable, 77 points, most in the Eastern Conference, the Red Wings 78 in the West, but we'll get to that in a minute. Another interesting game, Tampa Bay goes to Pittsburgh to play the Penguins. And, you know, the Penguins, and I've said this before, although this Malkin might be the best player in the game now, he is unbelievable. But Malkin yesterday gets 2 goals to lead the Penguins past Tampa Bay 4-2. The Penguins are doing it without their star, as we've discussed ad nauseum, Sidney Crosby. But Malkin gets his 31st and 32nd goals of the year. Kunitz gets his 16th, and Letang gets his 8th. For the Lightning, Downey scores both goals, his 10th and 11th of the year. Penguins 4, Tampa Bay 2. Another interesting game. The Kings go down to Dallas to play the Stars. Kings beat the Stars in Dallas 4-2. Justin Williams gets his 11th of the year. Dwight King scores his first of the year. Jordan Nolan scores his first of the year for the Kings. For the Stars, Louis Erickson gets his 18th. Michael Reitis gets his 21st. Not enough. Los Angeles 4. Dallas 2. And one other game to take a look at. San Jose goes out to St. Louis. St. Louis shuts them up, shuts them out. Yaroslav Halak shuts out San Jose. St. Louis 3, San Jose 0. St. Louis Blues, a very good team. You know, John Davidson and Dave Checkets and those guys went out to St. Louis a number of years ago. I think they're turning the corner now. Alex Pietrangelo gets his 9th of the year. David Perron his 10th. Pietrangelo comes up with an empty netter for his 10th of the year at the end of the game. St. Louis 3, San Jose nothing. Just want to take a quick look at the standings in the NHL. In the East, as we said, the Rangers lead the East with 77 points, 36-13, 5 overtime losses. Boston leads their division with 70 points, Florida with 65. Philly and Pittsburgh, obviously in the Rangers division, both have 69 points. Right now they're seated 4th and 5th. The Devils, also in the Rangers division, 66 points. They're seated 6th. Ottawa with 64 and Toronto with 62, 7th and 8th respectively. Washington just on the outside of the playoff race right now with 61 points, Winnipeg with 58. And then you go back, Montreal, Tampa Bay, Islanders, Buffalo, and Carolina. They got a lot of teams to pass and a lot of points to make up. In the West, Detroit leads the NHL with 78 points. After their 20th home win in a row yesterday, they're 38, 17, and 2 overtime losses. Vancouver leads the Northwest Division with 74 points, 34-15, and 6 overtime losses. San Jose leads the Pacific with 66 points, 30 wins, 17 losses, 6 overtime losses. And then St. Louis ranked 5th, even though they have 75 points, second most in the West. Ranked 4th. Nashville seated 5th with 70 points. The Blackhawks with 65. Los Angeles with 65. And Phoenix with 62, round out the top 8. But then there's a logjam, as we've discussed. Calgary 9th with 60 points. Colorado 10th with 60 points, just 2 points out of the playoffs. Dallas with 59 points, just 3 points out of the playoffs. Minnesota 12th with 58 points, just 4 points out of the playoffs. Then it's back to Anaheim, Edmonton, and Columbus, frankly out of contention for now. Want to talk briefly about TV tonight, NBA doubleheader on the NBA Network. Timberwolves at Magic. I watched the Timberwolves. They've got a very good young team. I couldn't figure out why J.J. Barea went to Minnesota, but after watching them against the Knicks the other night, Kevin Love obviously is a beast. They've got a nice team. Ricky Rubio's legit. Barea actually comes off the bench. Timberwolves at Dwight Howard in the Orlando Magic tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern on NBA. And then the Suns at the Warriors. Again, the Warriors, you love to watch their guards. And, of course, Nash was just named an All-Star still for the Phoenix Suns. Suns at Warriors, that's 10:30 Eastern. Obviously 7:30 on the West Coast. That's on the NBA Network. Hockey on the NBC Sports Channel, formerly versus the Sharks in Washington to play the Capitals and Alex Ovechkin. That's 7:30 Eastern. Also, college basketball, ESPN, 2 doubleheaders, 7 o'clock on ESPN, Syracuse at Louisville. Iowa State at Baylor on ESPNU, both 7 o'clock Eastern. 9 o'clock, Kansas at Kansas State on ESPN, and Maryland Eastern Shore at Coppin State, both 9 o'clock Eastern. That's on ESPNU. Women's college basketball, a couple of good games tonight. Kentucky at Tennessee. Tennessee, a bit of a down year this year, but still a good team. That's 7 o'clock Eastern. And then UConn, who looks like they're rounding into form to make another tournament run this year, to maybe get a national championship. UConn at Oklahoma, that's 9 o'clock Eastern. Both of those games on ESPN2. Kentucky at Tennessee, UConn at Oklahoma, women's college basketball tonight. A good doubleheader on ESPN2. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.